You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning, Bucknuts. It is Sunday, May 31st, 2020. I am Dan Rubin. This is Bucknuts Almost Live, our sporadic weekend podcast. Thrilled with our guest today. It is Randy Wade, father of Sean Wade, leader of the Ohio State defense this year. Randy, thanks for joining us on a weekend.
Dan, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here and talk with you.
As we were talking before the show and figuring out how to attack this, I thought we'd just go chronologically because, as I was telling Randy, Sean has kind of been in the mix here with every major news story that's affected the Buckeyes. What I'd like to do is start by taking you back to December 28th at the Fiesta Bowl. It was 16-0. Trevor Lawrence dropped back on third down. Your son came on a blitz, which they did not pick up. He crushed Trevor Lawrence. I know what was going through my mind when he made impact, and that was, we just won this game. What was going through your mind when you saw that play? And then take us through, like, the next 15 minutes. You don't have to spend 15 minutes, obviously. Of like, take us all through that.
So we was in the back end zone with, you know, family members and stuff like that. So we seen it hit, and everybody just started celebrating. So as we're celebrating, you know, we can't hear anything. We can't hear anything. All you hear is roars and stuff going on. So somebody just, you know, just tapped us on the shoulder and like, hey, they about to kick your son out the game. We're like, nah. And it's hard to see at that time because everybody's standing up or whatever. And we're waiting for the replay to come up. And for some reason, a lot of those plays that day that didn't go our way, a lot of those replays did not show back up unless the replay went up before we could see it. So, It was fine. Me personally, I was fine. Some of his uncles that was there, they was like, you know, sad because, you know, this was one of his most important games he ever played. And I was like, but, you know, we still got a chance to win the game. I already knew he could have came back and played the next game if we would have won that game because it was in the first half. And I was good. I mean, He made a good play before that, tracking down a running back out the backfield. He was having a great game. I was just like, man, I can't wait to see the play again and see what really happened.
Having had the chance to go back and watch it again, what'd you think of it?
I thought he lowered his head for a second. But if you look at every hit, you know, I make like highlight tapes, and I'm thinking about making a highlight tape of a lot of Sean hits. If you look at every hit he does, he has his head to the side, lowered for a second so he can put a hat on the ball and try to get the ball out. And just Trevor Lawrence just lowered himself so far down. If he never would have stayed on the ground, I don't think the call would have been made. But because of the fact that he was on the ground, they want to protect quarterbacks. That's fine that the call was made. But I thought it was a good hit. I thought it was one of the best hits of his life. I mean, it was very important because he showed blitz and they still didn't pick it up, you know. So it was amazing.
I was really impressed. He didn't protest. He took his helmet off, congratulated his teammates, and hustled off. When you talked to him afterwards, what did he say about it?
He was the same as me. He always make plays, you know, third down, fourth down, stuff like that. And he didn't know. He didn't know that he got kicked off until, you know, somebody tapped him on the shoulder down there and kind of looked up or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's not his last game ever, and it's just a game. You know, at the end of the day, you got to support your teammates. And I was pretty proud about that. A lot of people from back home in Jacksonville called me, texted me, and said the way he handled it versus the way a lot of other kids handle it, you can tell he got home training because at the end of the day, it's about your teammates. And I always tell them that, all my kids, it's always about your teammates.
He was faced with an interesting decision. Given his talent, he had the chance to go pro. But as I go back and look at Sean's career and time with Ohio State, he has done consistently what people did not think he was going to do. So when he committed to Ohio State, his class of 2017, he committed in 2015. When a Florida kid commits to Ohio State that early, most people think, oh, here we go. This is going to be a whole drama scene. And at the end, he's not going to choose Ohio State anyway. Why are we doing this? And you've seen that happen. Being down there, I know you know that reputation. He stuck with it. Ironically, I went back and looked at his crystal ball. There were only four votes, all for Alabama. How'd that work out? So then he was redshirted his freshman year. And I remember people saying, oh, they just redshirted a Florida five-star. There's no way he's going to stick it out. He's going to bail. He stuck it out. Then he wasn't starting on the edge. They were using his versatility, and everyone was like, oh, they're not putting him where he wants to go. They're making him play in the slot. He's going to bail. He didn't do that. Then you reach this other decision where he has a chance to go to the pros. I was 100% sure he was going to go. I've been covering recruiting for 25 years. And if you're going to be a first-round draft pick, you're going to go usually. But here's really the rule I use. I'm a draft geek. I have been forever. And I'm also a Dallas Cowboys fan. If I want the guy to be starting in the secondary that year, I figure it's time for him to leave. And I'm just telling you, Sean would be starting for the Cowboys if he was on the team. Everyone knew we were going to lose Chase. Everyone knew we were going to lose Jeffrey Okuda. And Sean, 6 days after, I believe it was the 4th, announced he was coming back to school. Not only did it, you know, change his future, but it changed the outlook of the team. If you look at Ohio State with Sean on defense, they just look completely different than if you take him out. The secondary was going to be a great concern. Since Bradley Roby joined the team, every out-of-state kid who has started in the secondary at corner has been a first-round draft pick. And he could have been also. Now, Damon was the upset. I didn't expect him to go in the first round, but he did. Why is it that Sean keeps making these decisions long-term when everyone thinks he's going short-term? The mock drafts, by the way, if you look at them now, I've seen him ranked anywhere from 2nd to 10th. It looks like he's going to be fighting Patrick Surtain, another Floridian, for top draft pick. Although I want to make a note to the Cowboys here. I saw a mock draft where they picked the corner from Stanford over Sean. If that happens, just talk to us about how you've made these decisions, and then if you could culminate with why he's coming back to Ohio State.
So to go back to the Alabama thing, everybody thought he was going to Alabama because he was born in Alabama. So that was – so a lot of his family's from there and stuff like that. So everybody thought he was going there because his mom is a big Alabama fan. And tell you the truth, I mean, if he would have went to Alabama, he probably would be in NFL by now. But that's here nor there, and that's not his story. That's not his storyline. You know, he loved the Buckeyes. He loved Coach Combs, Coach Hinton. He started being recruited because of a kid named Ben Edwards. He was a safety out of Trinity Christian, and he was committed to Ohio State, and he ended up going to Stanford. So that's how, you know, Ohio State really started seeing Sean and stuff like that. So, you know, all that said and done, he's at Ohio State. He got injured that first year. The roughest time in his life. He never, ever had to go a year without playing football. He had to adjust, had a lot of things going on. He adjust, you know, Urban and the coaches helped us through it, and we made it through. And then, you know, we always talked about, from his high school coaches to us to our friends, that you got to get on the field first. So let's take the five-star and all that stuff out of there. You got to do anything to get on the field. One thing I wish he would have did was he was a great offensive player in high school, and he had a chance to do kickoff returns. And he wanted to focus on defense so bad that he gave away his option to do kick returns.
And that's at Ohio State?
Yeah, that's at Ohio State.
Okay.
He stopped going to the kick return meetings and stuff. He kind of just wanted to get on the field at special teams, not necessarily kick return, just special teams, period. So you had that battle first. You know, just being able to travel with the team to make, you know, the two deep and all that kind of stuff. That was his first battle. And, you know, he got through it. And then it got to a point where Urban Meyer, Coach Stamp, Coach Hinton, Coach Combs wasn't there at the time. They all called me and told me that Sean had been having his best practices of his life. Like, they always said that Sean's just so smooth. He acts like he doesn't strain through plays. So they all noticed that, and then they had to get him on the field somewhere. So, you know, he made some great hits in practice, and he hit a kid like the first or second game of the season. It was on a kickoff, 2018, and from that point on, they made sure that he was Shiano was made sure that he was playing that slot position. They took Arnett out of that, and they just had to have him on the field. you know, and just they end up putting him everywhere. He would practice safety for the whole week and play slot, or practice corner for the whole week and play safety, you know. So that's great. And then when it comes to the coming back situation, myself and my wife, we wanted him to go because we knew he could be a first rounder. And you just don't, as a businessman, you just don't say, well, you know what, I won't take those millions of dollars right now. I'll take those millions of dollars next year. But Sean and our family, period, all of our kids, they are winners first. He won all 4 years in high school. He won in Pop Warner. He wanted to win a national championship. And he wanted a chance to be a leader. You know, right now he's the leader. He's the face, you know. So he really wants that. And then what broke me and my wife down is when he broke it to us on the other business aspect. He said, if I go now at a late first round, second round position, I make this much money. But if I do what I need to do and Ohio State pushes me like they are going to push me, I can wait out a year and triple, you know, quadruple that money, you know, and, you know, we're talking about millions. And so, and right now, everything looks good. So we're proud of his decision, and we just can't wait for the season and can't wait for the future.
How much consulting did you guys do with the NFL for that decision? Did you go to, there's a council I know that will give you a projected draft pick and stuff, and the university will help you along. Was there any of that done?
We did everything. Things we could talk about, things we can't talk about. We did everything to find out all the information we could. And we just really felt he was a first rounder. And then the only bad thing people would say is that he didn't play on the outside. Why? You know, why he didn't play on the outside. He didn't play on the outside. And as a father coming to a top D1 school like Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, I didn't even know you had to ask that type of question. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that, you know, that affects some people. Like they want to see him on out. They want that shut down corner on the outside. But you know, some people want that Swiss Army knife guy who can do everything, you know. So it's just interesting.
That's just where that's where the money is in the NFL. They want to be able to cut the field in half and give you the main guy. Mm-hmm. Sean hasn't had that opportunity. One thing that was interesting, though, is Sean's one of the few guys who knew Kerry Combs before he went to the Titans. Mm-hmm. Then Jeff Hafley was there. Obviously, Jeff Hafley did an excellent job, brought a lot of NFL vibes, and it clearly Boston College waited very little time to hire him. What was that like? Did you know who the defensive backs coach was going to be? Did that bother Sean that there was going to be some upheaval in the secondary from a coaching perspective?
Yeah, from a coaching perspective, it really bothered me. I mean, I'm a parent that's really outspoken, even though I know the situation, I know how things work. I want to say, you know, what I feel, and me and Coach Myers got into it a couple times, and that was one of the biggest things when Coach comes up. Like, that really hurt us because he was the main reason why we came. And then the second-year coach that's at the Raiders right now, Coach on the tip of my tongue, it's a T. The second coach that was at the Coach Combs. Yeah, Tabor. You know, Tabor, we got a chance to know him. He was a different coach, you know. And then, you know, once he left, I was definitely pissed in. But, you know, at that time, you know, Coach Myers was going through so much stuff, I just left everything alone and just left it in the hands because by that time, Sean was getting ready to establish himself. So I just left it alone. And then we were just lucky, you know, to have, you know, everything get reinvented and those guys show up in 2019 and do what they did. So it was crazy.
Sean hit it off with Coach Hafley pretty well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. He definitely did. I met him a couple times. Great guy. I hate to see him leave. You know, he had a lot of knowledge and he taught a lot of the kids. So that was great for Sean. And, you know, like I said, having diverse, you know, coaches and stuff like that it does help because you got to adjust. And it's probably the same thing you have to do in the NFL, I'm thinking.
But it's fair to say Sean and the Wade family was happy to see Coach Combs come back. I assume you guys are tight.
Oh, yeah. We're good. We're tight. We're tight. I mean, we're good, tight. A little nervous about the season this year, you know, because the other secondary is so young, it's going to be a lot on Sean. You know, he's going to have to still be, you know what everybody's doing and stuff like that. It's going to be like, it's not like he's going to just sit back on one side and just play. So, a little nervous about that. So, but, I mean, it is what it is.
We're going to take a quick break, be back, and talk to Sean Wade.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You brought it up, the season ahead, who knows what's going to happen exactly. Let's assume now that everything comes off naturally and we just go ahead. It does look like Sean is going to step into the marquee role on the defense. I think that he is aided by the fact that he's the most recognizable name on the team now defensively. So nationally, when these guys pick up to write a story, first name that's going in there is Sean Wade. How do you think he's going to deal with the pressure? He's gone from being kind of the other talented guy to now being the man on defense. How do you think he'll adjust to playing on the edge? How do you think he'll adjust to being looked at as probably the primary leader on the defense?
Edge is not an issue because edge you can't do that many. There's so many moves you could do on the edge versus how many moves you can do in the middle. You know, you play a guy like the wide receiver from Purdue, Rondell Moore. You know, it's so many things he can do in that middle. So many routes he can do on the edges. You got the sideline helping you. So and if you remember how Sean got recruited, you know he was one of the number one DBs in the country. Even though high school is nowhere near as college, but he was always an outside guy. So that's going to make it easier for him, I think. I don't think that's going to be a problem. And then as far as being the face of the team and being, you know, the guy on the defense, that's what he wants. He's always been a leader, But at the same time, to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. So these last couple of years, he followed a lot of guys. Now he knows it's his time. He's ready to win.
The other guys in the secondary, what has Sean said to you in terms of his confidence level?
The first one that Sean talks about is Seven Banks, period. You know, another Florida guy. Actually, his dad lives in Jacksonville. I didn't even know that until like a couple games ago. Yeah, he says it's very smooth. He can do everything, you know, very smooth, and that he just has to stay consistent, you know, and that comes with reps to me, if you're telling me that, you know. And then he talks about Cam, and he talks about the safety, Proctor, about how he can be a Swiss Army knife. He can move a couple different places. And, of course, Tyree's coming up and doing big things also.
I guess the question is going to be, because if you look at him, he does have prototype size for the NFL. He's about, what, 6'2"? Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say? What, 205, I'd say? Is that right?
No. About 190. You're not big as Jeff. Jeff a little bit bigger. Like, what, 198, something like that.
Yeah, but once he starts paying taxes, he's going to be 205, get a little man body type.
Yeah.
Question is going to be, it's going to be how fast he runs the 40, because that's so big on the edge. Now, it didn't affect Damon Arnette as much. He didn't, I think he ran 4.5. They'd like to see you below 4.5. Realistically, what do you think he will run at the combine?
I don't know. What I need to do is I have a picture of all the numbers people ran at Ohio State. Because Sean ran like a 4.3 something at Ohio State, 4.37 or something like that. So I need to take the numbers that people ran at Ohio State on the little board they have and compare it to the combine number and kind of make my decision from that. But
well, if he runs 4.37 at the combine, that won't even matter. That's fast enough to run on the 4x1 team in some Olympics. So we don't have to worry about that.
My dream is, and that's not Sean's dream, but my dream is that he just go to the combine, just do the testing and the medical, and maybe do the run. Don't do nothing else, man. Because the combine is kind of a glorified. It should be a very honorable thing, but now it's kind of a glorified thing. It's kind of just something that people do. And, like, my thing is, I like what Chase Young said about why prepare for the combine when I need to be preparing for the NFL. that's where your money gonna come in. You know, so
it's turned into a media event. Really, the point of the combine is to get all the doctors in one place so they can just check your medicals and basically do a bunch of interviews. So as long as he's healthy, he should be in good shape. As we look at these mock drafts, the guy who gets picked in that spot gets a ton of money. What is that like to sit and watch and to know that your family is about to come into generational wealth? Very few people get a chance to experience that. Mm-hmm. Is it nerve-wracking? Do you lose sleep over it? Or is it just you spend your days picking out Lamborghini color types?
No, let me rewind back before you said it. The most important thing, first of all, and I have a podcast called Daddy's Ball Podcast that I have, and I talk about different things that parents and kids and athletes and pros and all that stuff go through to help the younger generation. So what people don't understand, the first reason why you want to be the number one, rated the number one corner in the nation is because it affects your insurance. So if Sean goes into this year and he's rated the number one corner in the nation, he can get the top insurance out there for the number one corner. They have insurance slots for all that kind of stuff. So, like, that's a big thing. So before you even talk about anything else, that's a big thing.
For people who don't know what that means that because Sean is going to be so highly drafted, everybody knows that, you know, the family of Sean can take out an insurance policy. There used to be a place called Lloyd's of London that used to do this for huge money. So the idea of him coming back, if he does happen to suffer some kind of unfortunate injury, he'll be at least insulated by this insurance policy. And only the really elite players who are guaranteed pros get the kind of money you're talking about. I just want to make a clarification for that, for people who don't understand that.
Yeah, number three might not even get it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it used to be. Like, it's not like it used to be. Even for CB1, it's not like it used to be. But talking about the money, I'm on the opposite side of that, man. I've been looking into, especially dealing with agents and stuff like that, and looking into families. There's so many families that break up because of this money, especially dads and sons, because you got to think, you know, you've been pushing your son, mentoring your son, making decisions for your son all the way from Pop Warner to college. And now the kids go from college to the pros, and you have a million people calling you trying to manage your money. A million people calling you trying to market you. A million people calling you trying to be your agent. And the first thing they want to do is be a wedge between the parents and the player. And I can name names, I mean, of people that don't even talk to their parents because of the money and the pressure and all that kind of stuff. So my biggest thing is to keep communication with him and keep our family together. You know what I'm saying? So it's not glorified like you think. Yeah, it's glorified. You get your cars and all this kind of stuff. But a lot of families break up because of that money.
Has Sean got a lot of people in his ear? Do they know in the Wade family it's got to go through Randy? Or?
Yeah, me and my wife, he already knows it because he wanna win a championship. So anybody who – I gave him a criteria a long time ago. Anybody who calls him, texts him or whatever, if they talk a certain kind of way, if they look a certain kind of way, look them up on the internet, they look a certain kind of way and they're not professional or whatever, don't even give them my number. But if they meet these check marks, give them my number and I'll talk to them. We did that all mostly last year because we thought he was going. So we pretty much got everything cut down now.
A lot of the guys he's hung out with are now in the pros. At Ohio State, you talked about needing to know what's going to happen next. Is there help for you as a family to know what's coming next? Is there a community aspect to that? Is everyone coming to lottery wealth together?
Yeah, we talked to a lot of families. Even we got real close with a lot of people who, because the funny thing is, Sean and his class, you know, a lot of those elite skilled players in his class, they've been knowing each other since like the seventh grade. You know, we went to a Deion Sanders camp together. We went to different, you know, rivals camps, you know, together. So, like, they've been knowing each other for a long time. You know, Sean and Akuda met at Deion Sanders camp. They was, like, 14, 15, something like that. You know, so they've been knowing each other for a long time.
What's crazy is you said Sean was the number two corner coming out. I looked it up. Jeffrey was number one. So those guys have done pretty well for themselves.
Definitely. And we've been competing with Jeff for a long time. If it wasn't for that one company, you got 247, you got Rivals, ESPN, and you had another one.
Scout.
See, Scout ranked Sean like 30th or something. No, I'm talking about like in the position they had ranked them like maybe 8th or 9th or something, 10th or something like that. And they ranked them like 30th, 40th in the country or whatever. They don't want to mess them up. Because we was competing. Just like I remind you, we compete about everything. We compete about everything. So they knew each other for a long time. And it's crazy. It's a picture with Jeff Williamson and Pryor. They was all together a long time ago. they didn't even know they was going to Ohio State. You know, it's crazy to see stuff like this. You look back and see that.
A couple of years from now, they can be sitting on their yacht in the Caribbean talking about it, which is much funner than talking over a Zoom call and getting high. I can tell you that much right now. Can you just give everybody an idea of what it's been like for you as a family to oversee Sean during this crazy time? Was he at home the whole time? How did he work out?
It's not hard because he knows what he needs to do. I just got to help him out with the getting ready for the next level side, because it's a lot of things that we've done for him that he has to learn how to do for himself, and he has to learn how to judge character better, because everybody always acts like they love you because you have something, and he has to learn how to judge character better and get ready for the next level. But as far as working out and all that kind of stuff, it was great having all my kids back together. You know, my other son is getting ready to go to Chicago to Olivet Nazarene University. So he's getting ready to leave. So they'll all be gone, you know, after this summer. So, and then my daughter, she's a junior in high school. So it was good to have them together, see them arguing, you know, back and forth, stuff like that. Now that was very, very cool to have. But I did have a story I want to tell you, though. So it's about Coach Harbaugh. Coach Harbaugh came down to to Jacksonville at Trinity Christian to have a camp with, and he brought his whole coaching staff.
I remember.
He was really trying to steal Sean from Ohio State. And actually, me and Urban Meyer got into arguing about that. But anyway, so I was always cool with Coach Harbaugh, like, even after Sean went to Ohio State. Because, like, I'm the kind of person, because I have a podcast, I try to help other kids out,
yeah.
Try to, you know.
Don't want to burn those bridges.
Yeah, don't want to burn those bridges. So, during the recruiting cycle, I made sure every school Sean went to, I met somebody that had similar, you know, relationships like me, and, you know, that I could talk to and stuff like that. So I always got people I can call to help kids out. And so Coach Harbaugh used to answer my phone all the time. We used to have conversations and stuff like that. Hey, Mr. Wade, stuff like that, you know, for a while, until the 2018 Michigan game. You know, when Sean hit the tight end, and he kind of looked at him. He actually looked at Coach Harbaugh. So it was kind of – I was like, Sean, why you look at him like that? You know, he was saying it was just in the moment and stuff like that. And now I can't even talk to Coach no more, man. I have to talk to him through other people, man. I'm like, Sean, man, you tripping, man. You tripping bad, man. So that was a big thing. But Coach – I did want to say this, man. A lot of people think Coach Harbaugh is a bad dude. Man, he's a really, really good guy. Really good guy.
I think that tight end that he hit, he's number 87, is in camp with the Cowboys, and I'm already like, I don't know about this dude.
For real? Oh, that's interesting.
The one thing I think that's going to come up is, let's say things don't go well with coronavirus and the games are affected. Sean will have the opportunity to go into the supplemental draft. I don't know if a lot of people know what that is. It's usually for kids that actually academically or have some other issue where they miss their shot at the draft and it comes back up. Very few people enter it. I think last year, and if I could be wrong, only a few guys got selected. Basically, what happens is a team can opt to use their draft pick for the year ahead on the player, and it's just very rare that it happens. However, this is a unique situation. There's never been a coronavirus issue affecting the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean is the type of player that I do honestly believe, and I hate to say this, Buckeye Nation, if he made himself available, I'm pretty sure one of those teams would gamble with a very, very high draft pick. What is your vibe on that? If the season does get taken away or affected, is that something you guys would consider seriously?
You know, we already talked about it, and we definitely would, because it would start the clock early. Starting the clock early will be everything, you know. That's one thing about positions in the NFL. You're only good to a certain age, and you can – think about college all you want to, but you know, at a certain age, the NFL people are not going to pay you that much. So it's something we'll definitely think about. But I will say this. I hate to bring up the protest, but the protest will actually help college football, because a lot of people were in big groups together. And within the next couple of weeks, we're going to see if that affects the numbers of the coronavirus. So that will be some evidence to say, you know, well, we can have bigger crowds and things not go up. So I know it's too early to kind of – so the next 2 weeks, evaluating people will be a big thing, and that's going to help yay or nay the crowds of college football and college, because you got to think, in college you walk around each other like that also.
You'd be comfortable going sitting back in the parents' section at the shoe?
Oh, all day long. I would enjoy it. I'm going back and forth between both of my sons' games and just loving it. Because, I mean, this time is going to end one day, you know. And I've been, you know, a father cheering them on since they was 5 years old playing football. So, like, I can't wait. I can't wait.
We really appreciate Randy making the time for today. He did bring it up, and I want to do it again. He has a tremendous podcast of his own. Daddy's Ball is great stuff. And like you've heard from this time, he's very insightful. And there are a lot of parents who will not let you know the straight skinny on stuff. And I think you've learned from this podcast, at least if you didn't know Randy, that he not only has a very talented son that we are very thankful he landed in Columbus, but I think he offered some insight today on certain things that allow people to see a little bit more about the athlete. We hope everybody enjoyed it. Let's just hope everything gets worked out with the season. And as far as the protests, everybody else, people, let's just all live by the golden rule. How about that? Have a good one, Buck Hunters.
All right, thanks, man.
CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up! New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.